Good evening. Welcome to the regular monthly meeting of the City of Atlanta Board of Ethics. The board is an independent, citizen-nominated board that works to ensure honesty, integrity, accountability, and trust in city government. The board administers and enforces the Code of Ethics by interpreting the city's ethical standards, administering the financial disclosure program, investigating ethics complaints, and determining if ethics violations have occurred. The board meets every third Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. in City Council Committee Room 1. Ethics questions or complaints may be submitted via email to ethicsofficer@atlantaga.gov or by phone at 404-330-6288. The board is composed of 7 city residents nominated by a public interest group and confirmed by the City Council to serve a 3-year term of office. All board members are community volunteers who receive no pay for their service. They are Wesley Tharp, nominated by the Metro Atlanta Chamber of Commerce; Nicola Hines, nominated by the League of Women Voters; Jessica Stern, nominated by the Atlanta Bar Association, who serves as vice chair; Todd Gray, nominated by the Atlanta Business League; Jerry Newmark, nominated by the Atlanta Planning Advisory Board; and Chris Gilmore, nominated by the Gate City Bar Association. My name is Kate Walsh. I was nominated by the 7, formerly 6, major universities, and I serve as the chair of the board. Assisting the board is Ethics Officer Jeb Usangova, who is seated to my far right, and we do have a quorum, so we will begin with the first order of business. Review and approval of the minutes of January 17, 2019 meeting. You have had an opportunity to review those. Do I have a motion to adopt the minutes as presented?
I move that we adopt the minutes from January 17th meeting.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right, so the minutes are adopted as presented. Thank you. Back to my agenda. Sorry. Introduction of our new board member, Christopher Gilmore. So I'm happy to inform you that the Gate City Bar Association nominated Mr. Gilmore to serve on the Board of Ethics. He is a corporate attorney and an active member of various legal and civic organizations. Through his years of service, he has come to understand the significance of maintaining high ethical standards. He has also assisted numerous boards as corporate counsel, and his legal training and experience will be invaluable to the Ethics Board. He was successfully confirmed by the City Council on February 4, and his appointment process is now complete. So we welcome Mr. Gilmore to the board. Thank you.
Thank you.
Financial disclosures, Mr. Santiago.
Hello, hello. All right, there we go. Good evening, board members. I'd like to start tonight with an update on our financial disclosure enforcement efforts. At this point, we are wrapping up the 2018 disclosure season and heading into the 2019 season, which will start at the beginning of next month on March 1st. So our finishing filing percentage for last year is 97%. Which is very good. We collected 2,050 in fines. And since our last meeting, if you'll recall, we did have some current employees who appeared before the board regarding, this was back in November, we had several current employees that had not filed their statements who did appear before the board. And since that time, we did not hear from them as far as reaching out to our office to make payment arrangements. So on January 15th, we did serve invoices on them, asking them to contact our office immediately to set up payment arrangements. After we did that, we did hear from 2 individuals, and those individuals are set to have their first payments by the end of this month, their first round of payments. We did not hear from one of the remaining employees, and I'll address his situation shortly. So moving on, we also have what we're looking at right now is we do have some current employees that were late filers during this this last period who have still yet to contact our office to make arrangements to pay the penalties owed in their cases. We sent out letters on February 7th reminding them of their obligation to pay their fines in their financial disclosure cases. We did not hear back from six of them. Two of the employees we did hear back from, one of them, Homer Williams, which was FD18021, called our office and has agreed to pay his late filing penalty by Friday, March 1st, by next Friday. The second individual is Shanta Garrett, which is FD18006, and this is the first action item, which is a motion to vacate the order in her case. This is located behind tab 2 in your board books. So Ms. Garrett's case came before the Board of Ethics back on October 18th of last year, where it was determined that she had violated the Code of Ethics by failing to file her financial disclosure statement before the end of the late filing grace period without reasonable cause. The board did enter an order based on the fine schedule, and her penalty in that case was $50. On February 19th, after receiving an email from our office, so we sent out those letters, as I said, reaching out to the late filer current employees. We initially did not hear back from them, so we sent up a follow-up email directly to them to see if we can get them to contact us before this meeting. When I spoke with Ms. Garrett on the phone, and when I went over her information, it turns out that her address of record with the city has not been good since 2015. And she's a first-time filer, so this is one of the reasons why we wouldn't have noticed it in the past, over the past 2 years. But I did verify her current address, and that address was outdated. It never bounced back to us, so of course we didn't see that there was some sort of address issue. And she basically said that I hadn't heard from you guys, and then when I saw the email, I responded. So in that case, she would not have been able to receive the notifications that she was delinquent or provided the opportunity, the due process, to appeal her penalties in her case. Therefore, we're respectfully asking the board to vacate the final order in her case and vacate the $50 late filing penalty.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Santiago. Any questions from the board?
I have a question. Are you able to give us a little background on the person who did not respond to the payment, who have not started payments?
With the ones who did appear before the board previously?
Right, and one of them, you said two of them have set up payment schedules, but there's a third person,
yes,
you said, who didn't respond. So
yes, I'm going to address, after we get done with this motion, I'm going to address those remaining current employees who haven't paid their fines.
Thank you.
All right, any other questions for Mr. Santiago?
I have a question as well. Mr. Santiago, can you remind me of the process of whether there's an opportunity earlier in the timeline to try to reach individuals by email, specifically with the issue being here that the letters weren't reaching her because of the issue with the address, and you were eventually able to contact her by email?
Yes, and that's something that we have discussed. It's very rare that we do have the current employees in the past. This has really been a kind of an outlier year where we've had these current employees who we have not heard from. However, what we did was we sent letters directly to their supervisors, to their liaisons as well, to get them to personally reach out to them. Our requirements under the code are by mail. So in this case, we kind of circled back to see, okay, we're not hearing from them at this point. We're already almost at the new filing season, so let's see what's going on. But typically the protocol is for us to send mailings for all of our notices. But given our experience this past year with some current employees, we're looking to maybe do that process with the direct emails as opposed to only sending it to the department heads or liaisons.
Thank you.
All right, anything further?
All right. Is there a motion to accept the recommendation and vacate the final order in case number FD18006?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. The motion passes. The order will be vacated.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And that order to vacate isn't located in your board book. Okay, Board Member Newmark, so the next area is I'm going to address the six remaining current employees that we have who are late filers who we have not heard from as of yet. We have six of them, and again, these we reached out multiple times throughout the process, all of our required mailings, none of them were returned. And with these individuals as well, we did email them directly this past week and still have not heard back from them. And they are currently active employees working here at the city. The six individuals, the first case is FD009 in the matter of Lester Kimson. Mr. Kimson still owes a late filing penalty of $50. The next matter is FD18020 in the matter of Michael B. Williams. Mr. Williams owes a $50 late filing penalty. The next matter is FD18023 in the matter of Gabriel Yombe. Mr. Yombe owes a late filing penalty of $50. The next case was FD18024 in the matter of Kiskaskis Battle. Mr. Battle owes a late filing penalty of $250. And the next matter is FD18070 in the matter of Tony Terman. Mr. Terman owes a late filing penalty of $250. And finally, the remaining matter is FD18072 in the matter of Dante Wheeler. Now, Dante Wheeler was one of the individuals who was asked to appear before the board. In that case, the board did appeal, and his late filing penalty was reduced from $250 down to $100. However, after we invoiced, we sent his final order to him, invoiced him, and then we sent the same follow-up letters. We served an invoice to him in person, which he signed as having received. Our investigator, Mr. Mason, went out and personally served the invoice to him. And then we also sent him the February 7th letter reminding him that he needed to set up payments and also emailed him. So we have made as many efforts as we possibly can to reach Mr. Wheeler to have him come set up, and the board has already granted him a reduction in his penalty. So with each of these six cases, we're asking the board to issue a subpoena for them to appear at the March meeting. So that they can answer to the board as to why they have not contacted our office or paid the late filing penalties in their cases. So that is our request, is to have the board issue subpoenas in each of these cases.
Thank you, Mr. Santiago. Are there any questions from the board? Okay. In that case, may I have a motion to approve and to issue the subpoenas as requested by Mr. Santiago?
I move to approve and issue the subpoenas as recommended.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of issuing these subpoenas as requested, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? All right. Thank you. So the motion is approved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the subpoenas are prepared for your signature.
I have those. Thank you.
Thank you.
And that would be for the next meeting, for the March meeting. So we'll have those subpoenas served.
Thank you.
Good evening, members of the board. I'm Janet Keene, ethics analyst. We, as Mr. Santiago said, we are about to begin our new financial disclosure season. So I'm presenting to you an overview of the audit that we've done for 2018 financial disclosure statements. As you may or may not remember, the disclosure statement consists of seven parts. Not every part applies to every person. For example, Section 7 is entitled Additional Questions for Certain Designated Filers. It addresses ownership of stocks and relatives employed by the city. This section should be completed by elected officials, department heads, deputy department heads, and employees who report directly to the mayor. But we found this section is commonly overlooked. It's skipped over, and then the statement is signed by the individual. The other error that we have commonly found is in Part 3, which is entitled Sources of Income. There's a question about non-city employment income, which asks if an individual has been self-employed or employed by any corporation, entity, and it includes nonprofit organizations. This answer is often no, when we have in fact found that a person has had ownership in a business or a nonprofit. So we have mailed out a group of letters to people found not to have answered either of those sections correctly, just to make them aware to be more conscientious about this for the 2019 statement. Any questions?
Yes. Have we considered redrafting the questions or otherwise changing the form in order to ensure that they are answered appropriately?
So one of the things that we're developing with our new system, we've revamped all of those questions so to make them more clear. So, when, for example, when it comes to outside business interests, non-city income, or even the real estate questions, that those questions are very clear and specific, so we do not have omissions as we've been having in the past. Because we do recognize that the form has not been changed in several years. And so one of the things we hope that will eliminate that, you know, maybe inadvertently missing a question. The other thing we've also doing that new system is that there are certain parts where you would not be able to proceed. Certain questions, unless you respond to that question, you might not be able to proceed to the next part. The current system, it's unfortunately, people may not skip a part and still able to submit their form. In the new system, you'll have to complete each part that applies to you before you can go to the next section.
Okay, good. That sounds great. Does anyone else have questions? All right, thank you, Ms. Keene.
Thank you.
Report to the board on the 2019 filing season. Dawson?
That would be me. Good evening, members of the board. My name is Sherry Dawson, and I am the business manager with Ethics Office and also the project manager for the 2019 financial disclosure policy. I'm going to give you an overview, a brief overview on the current status of the 2019 financial disclosure season. Over the past month, we have been working very closely with the city departments and board liaison to compile a comprehensive financial disclosure filing list for 2019. And after carefully reviewing all the data, we came up with a final list count of 3,125 required filers for this year. This is a slight increase from last year, where we started with 2,911 filers. And that's a total of about 214 more filers, but we have some additional boards added and some additional departments that are required filers this year. Of the 3,125 filers, we have 2,687 employees that are required to file, and 438 board members this year that are required to file. Last year, we only had 356 board members, so we are a little with the boards this year also. And last week we did host a training for all of the boards and departments liaison, and it was a well-attended meeting, and everyone was very engaged in it, so that was really good. And last, but I want to give the key dates for this filing season, which will be next Thursday the 28th, the formal filing notice will go out to all required filers in the mail like we do every year. March 1st, we will go live and people can start filing their required their financial disclosure forms online. And all forms have to be filed online. No paper forms are allowed. March 13th, we'll hold our annual e-filing day in the atrium, and that's for anyone that wants to come in and that needs assistance or want to file with directly with us. April 1st will be the filing deadline. I think it's on a Monday. And the grace period will be from April 2nd through April 15th. And that means that they can file during that time period. It will be considered a late file, but no penalties or fine will be imposed at that time. April 16th, the fines will begin. It will start off at $50 and increase every 14, 15 days by $50. And tentatively, we've scheduled the Transparent Diamond Award ceremony for May 16th for this year. Does anyone have any questions or anything?
Anyone?
I would just add, in terms of the filing season, we do have, thank God, we have more staff. We've hired a few more people, so that's hopefully going to help. In terms of, we get off stream a lot of phone calls, a lot of traffic. It's an extremely busy time of the year. Not to mention, I'm hoping that people continue to understand the importance of this process and why it's, they're required to file this form. It's not unique to our city. It happens at the state and federal level. So we'll just navigate through the process, and the staff is working really hard to get everything in place so we can start on March 1st.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Dawson. Okay, on to the ethics officer's report, Ms. Zangova.
And that will be brief. All right, I think that should be behind tab. Let me see, am I on the right tab? 3. And you may have had an opportunity to review some of this. I won't really belabor too much of it. Just that we continue, and that would be Carlos and I, we continue to monitor any proposed legislation, especially legislation that impacts our office and our board. And I've forwarded some of that information already to you all. So, again, we appear at the committee meetings and speak up on legislation that we know will impact this office as well as the board. Now, you should also have a copy of the annual report. This is the actual final copy, which you did not have at the last meeting. You can take it with you. I encourage you to read it when you have a little time. One of the things is I try to keep the report as streamlined as possible, and we just highlight most of our programs in there. It is required by the code that we do submit this report, and we have sent the report out to the mayor and to city council president and city council, as well as members of the cabinet have gotten copies of this report. So if you need any more copies, just let us know. We've already talked just in terms of the financial disclosure process. I won't belabor that. And if you have any specific question, oh, yeah, one thing I did want to mention is that, again, in terms of staff, Larry Mason is now full-time investigator with our office, and it's been very critical in terms of moving along our investigations. And we do have a young lady that is assisting us on a temporary basis during the filing season as well. I can speak to the budget report if you.
Any questions
about the status report? All right, in terms of our budget, we are going into the last quarter of the budget of FY19 and preparing for the FY20 budget year. Ms. Dawson and I will be working closely on that process. Again, we do have the one vacant position, which I'm hoping to fill soon. And we have, of course, moved Mr. Mason into a full-time position. But in terms of spending, we continue to spend as budgeted. And we'll keep you posted in terms of the process for the FY20 budget year. I'll take any questions you have, if you have any questions about our budget.
Anyone? Remarkably silent group this evening. All right. That looks like it. We have no public here to make comments, so we can skip that.
The next meeting of the Board of Ethics will be on Thursday, March 21 at 6 p.m. here in Committee Room Number 1. Anything further from my board members for the good of the order? All right. May I have a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Thank you. Second?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Any opposed? All right. We are adjourned. Thank you.